Well, good morning. Welcome to Sunday School. Well, if I give Kelly 15 minutes and Carolyn 15 minutes, and me 15 minutes, it'd be over on it. Well, thank you all for being here today, and we're sorry for the problem, but pray for it, and the Lord's going to take care of it for us. And we're just grateful to be together. I'm grateful that we got one place that we can all come, amen? And be together and worship the Lord and have this good crowd together today. So welcome today to Sunday School, each one of you, and we're trusting God to meet with us and learn something today. We're talking about relationships. Last week we talked about building a relationship with God, and today we were talking about building a relationship with husbands and wives. A very important subject, very touchy subject, but yet very important, and I think very necessary today in the world in which we live. And so we're glad to have you today. Take your Bibles and turn this morning to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. If I was to ask you, what is your ideal for a mate? For a mate. If you could write down the kind of mate that you would like, what would you say? What would you say? For the ideal mate, he says, got her. That's good. Amen, brother. But the ideal one, you know, if we could write down what we wanted, who we wanted, and it would be the ideal mate, I'm afraid it wouldn't work out. Amen? Because God knows who we need. He knows what we need in our lives to make us what he wants us to be. By the way, that's the most important thing is what God wants me to be in my life and not what I want to be. But every person who gets married, no matter who you are, every person that gets married, we all have to make changes. And we all have to make adjustments with the one we marry, right? Is that amen? Yeah, all of us have to make adjustments. We have to make arrangements, different kinds of arrangements. But the problem is this, with all of us, we resist changes. We don't like changes, do we? We don't like changes. Now, why is it that we don't like changes? And all of a sudden, we get married, and we say, bang, you know, I didn't think this. We have changes to make. Why do we resist these changes when they come into our life? There are many reasons. Some of the reasons sometimes, one reason would be this, that we're afraid sometimes of being taken advantage of. We don't want someone to take advantage of us when we have to make a change in our life. Also, we see another reason that we don't like change is because of pride and hurt. Sometimes causes us to be stubborn towards change. Anybody in here stubborn? Got a few honest people. But pride and hurt sometimes causes us to go against, you know, changes in our life that we have to make, you know. And so sometimes it's very hard. We know that society today, society as a whole has certainly modeled a very perverted view of marriage today. I heard not too long ago where a couple out in Hollywood, I reckon it was, somewhere was married for 16 hours. 16 hours. Can you believe that? I mean, you know, what pervertedness, what degrading it is to marriage. God says marriage is honorable in the sight of God. And I thank God today for my wife. God gave me a good wife, and I thank God for her. But we see here that we resist changes sometimes. Also, some people resist the change, don't like change because they don't like what the Bible says. You know, they don't believe what the Bible says works. They don't believe it. But it does work. Amen. It does work. God's word always works if we apply it to our lives. If we apply it to our lives. So we see, talking about changes, and we have to make changes and adjustments when we are married. And I'm thankful for that. It makes us a better person. It really does. It makes us what we ought to be. But we see today, as we look at this building a relationship with husband and wife, it's very, very important that we do this. It's necessary that we do it in our life. Now, in Ephesians chapter number 5, down about verse number 22, we find here Paul is giving us an example, not example, but the facts of life. I mean, this is how to build a relationship between a husband and a wife. There are three verses that talks about the wife and what she should do. There's nine verses that talks about the husband and what he's doing. I don't know why that is, but that's the way God planned it, you know. But we see here in the passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter number 5, what God tells us about marriage. Paul is describing this relationship between a husband and a wife. And we're going to talk about that for the next few minutes. Let's pray first. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for life. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, that you've given us, Lord, to help us, Lord, in our lives daily. God, we come now to this subject today of the relationship between a husband and a wife. Lord, this is a very important subject. God, I need your help. Lord, to try to do justice to this subject today. Lord, thank you for this crowd that's here with us. Every individual that's here, those that are visiting, those that have been come every Sunday, we thank you for them today. We ask you now, Lord, may the Spirit of God be our teacher. May he lead and guide us today in everything that we say and everything we do. And Lord, we're going to thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, again, we're talking about building a relationship between husband and wife. First thing we see is in verse number 22. Ephesians 5, look at it, verse 22. The Bible says this, wives. Okay, we're talking to wives, first of all. Wives, what's the next word? Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, this is very hard, but this is very good too. It's good. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, that last four words there, as unto the Lord, three words, that is the key, folks. As unto the Lord. If it's relating to marriage, if it's relating to your job, if it's relating to soul winning, no matter what you're talking about, as a born-again child of God, if we will focus on doing whatever I'm doing as unto the Lord, it will enable us to enjoy what we're doing and be more beneficial to others in what we're doing. We have to do it as unto the Lord. There's something about it. Whenever I decided to go visiting for the Lord, there's something that encourages me, you know, to go and to do. I'm doing this for the Lord. And whenever I leave that house, no matter what kind of response I got when I was there, I still had to remind myself I did it as unto the Lord. And when I do, I can go away and I can say, God, you helped me to do my best, and thank you. And thank you. So again, if it's about marriage or whatever it is, the key here is as unto the Lord. Now, the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, what does submit mean? Submit means to yield, if you please. Submit means also to obey or to be under obedience to your husbands. Wives are to submit unto their husbands. That's not what I said. That's what God says. See, God has a plan. God has an order. For all of us. For all of us. And when we go by this plan, go by this order, why, things will go well. Things will go well. Submitting to one another. You know, I think about Brother Ledbetter that used to sing here with it during camp meeting. I'm reminded him of what he said one time. Most of you remember him saying this. But he was here, and his wife and himself have been married 60 years. 60 years. My, what a thing to go through. 60 years, that's a record, really, it is. But they've been married 60 years, and he says someone asked him what was the secret of him and his wife being married for 60 years. He said, well, it's all about commitment. Commitment. He says, my wife and I committed to one another many years ago some things, and we stuck to those things. He said, one of those things is that we would go out to eat twice a week. He says, she goes on Thursday and I go on Friday. Submitting to one another. You know, it's very, very important. It really is. Now, submitting can be by voluntarily or can be by force. when it comes to submitting. But we notice verse number 22 tells us this. To submit is what? Let's read it again. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. So God says to submit is what? It's God's will, isn't it? Nod your heads like this. To submit is God's will. It's God's will, okay? Now, let's notice in verse 23. Verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, what is he saying here? We're saying here that God has a plan. God has an order, okay? And his plan, his order is for the husband to be over the wife. Over the wife. So we see that, first of all, to submit is God's will, as unto the Lord, again, to please him. And then number verse 23 says, to submit is God's order for the family. God's order for the family. Somebody has to be the overseer. Somebody has to be in charge. And God has placed the man in that position. He's placed the man in that position. Now, so we see, first of all, the wife is to submit is God's will. And secondly, for the wife to submit is God's plan. God's plan. Now, let's notice verse number 24. Verse 24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. Well, watch these words. I mean, listen, these verses right here are loaded. I mean, they're loaded, really, with responsibility for every one of us when it comes to husbands and wives. And those of you that are going to be future husbands and wives, you know, learn this. Get it down in your hearts and in your crawl, so to speak, and abide by it whenever the time comes, whenever God does put you together with somebody else. But it's very important to submit. It's also a spiritual mystery. First of all, submit is God's will, is God's order, and it's a spiritual mystery. Again, in verse number 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Now, who's the church? Us. We all, okay? We all are subject to Christ. As a born-again believer, we are to submit to him, aren't we? We're to submit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and live for him. Likewise, we find here that the wives are to submit unto their husbands. Their husbands. Again, I say, as unto the Lord. That's the key. That's the key. If I am used, if I am habitually, or whatever you want to call it, submitting myself unto the Lord, I won't have any problem submitting myself to my wife or some, you know, something else that I need to. You know. So again, it's as unto the Lord. That's the whole key here. Again, so to submit is God's will. To submit is God's plan. To submit is a spiritual mystery. A spiritual mystery. Wives are to show to their husbands, as they live, an example of submission, like all believers are to submit to Christ. All of us are to be in submissive mode, so to speak. And wives are to submit to their own husbands. It does not mean that the wife is inferior to the man. It doesn't mean that at all. It's just, this is God's plan. This is God's order for us to work in harmony and communion. It means also that there is an arrangement in God's house. There is order in God's house. And this is the way order comes, as wives submit to their own husbands. Is very, very important here. Everybody, not one word, but two words, everybody has a head, right? Everybody has a head. The church has a head is who? Jesus Christ, okay? Every family has a head. That is the man. That is the man. That's God's plan. That's God's arrangement. That's God's order. In God's order of things for the family, the husband is the head. We also see here, if he is, why the man is arranging things in a spirit of tenderness and also love. Tenderness and love. Now, a man that's arrogant, a man that's very aggressive, and all these things, God help the family is all I've got to say. But the man, the wife that is submissive to her husband, the husband is to operate in tenderness and kindness in that family, and he will in love. The wife is to be submissive to her, his wife is to be to submit herself in a sweet spirit of understanding and reasonableness as she submits to her husband. So what do we see first of all? Wives, what are you to do? Number one word, what is it? I didn't hear you. Okay. Submit. Wives are to submit unto their own husbands. And that is God's order. Not my order, that's God's order, you see. And it's very necessary in your life. If you want to have a good home, if you want to have a godly home, you have to submit. You have to submit to God. And this is very good. So the wives are to submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, look at verse number 25. Wives, we'll get off of you now and get on the husbands, okay? On the husbands. Look at verse 25. The Bible says this, husbands, what's the next word, men?
Love.
Love your wives. Love your wives. This is so important. Husband, love your wives. Notice it says, even as Christ also loved who?
Church.
The church and gave himself for it. Now, guys, that's a big responsibility. That's a big responsibility. For me to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Brother Alford, can we fulfill that? I don't think we can either, really. There's no way we can love like Christ loved us. But we're to try. We're to strive to love our wives like Christ loved the church. That is to give ourselves, men, for her. To sacrifice for her. When we think about how Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, this is the strongest love that's ever been in the world, folks. And Christ died for you and I. The strongest love that's ever been in this world is when he came and died. And men, if we are to love our wives the way Christ loved the church, I'm going to say this to myself, as I said to you, men, you get this. There is no danger of us as men loving our wives too much. It's impossible. It's impossible, guys, for us to love our wives too much. When we're commanded to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I said, this is a big responsibility for us men. It really is. Men, aren't you thankful that we have the opportunity to do it?
Yes, amen.
We have the opportunity to do it. God's given it to us, you see. The strongest love. Notice, and he gave himself. Jesus Christ gave himself. Jesus Christ gave himself because he loves us, and we're to give ourselves as men to love our wives. The most precious thing to us, our wives, you see. Christ gave himself to redeem the church. He suffered for the church, didn't he? He suffered. He saved the church. Now, we're to love our wives that way. We're to be willing to deny ourselves as men sometimes, aren't we? We're to be willing to work for her support, to provide for her needs, no matter what they may be. Not always her wants, but also always her needs. Her needs in her life. We're to deny ourselves sometimes of rest and ease, guys, to do something for our wives, to love our wives, to deny ourselves of rest and ease that we might want. We're to tend to her when she's sick. Look after her. Look after her. I know last year when I had my little accident, my wife attended to me well, and I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. And there's times when she's sick, and I want to attend to her because she's my wife. She's my wife. She deserves it. I want to do it. I'm thankful that it's not something that I feel like I have to do. But it's something that I want to do. I want to do that. You know. We also see the husband's duty is to defend her, to go before her in danger, protect her. It's our responsibility to do that, to be ready also to die or to save her for whatever reason. The story was told of a couple was walking in the mall one day, out in the mall and walking around and around, and another couple came up behind them, and the lady that was following them said to her husband, said, "Look at that couple there. Do you see something strange about that couple?" And of course, as a man, he said, "No." And she said, "Well, there's something different about them." He said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "They're holding hands." "Oh," he said. And, you know, she began to talk to her husband about the couple in the front were holding hands and as they were walking around the mall. And it's very unusual to see that as a married couple walking in the mall. Have you ever seen that? Not too often, right? But nevertheless, they're walking in the mall holding hands, and the wife behind kept talking to her husband about that, you know, and how good it was and how sweet it was and all that, mushy stuff, you know. But anyway, they finally stopped for some reason. They caught up with them. And the wife that was following this lady, she says, I've got to say something to y'all. She says, "What is it?" She says, I want to come in, y'all, for holding hands while you're walking in the mall. She says, "We don't see that too often. I appreciate that. And, you know, it's just so sweet for y'all to do that." And by that time, the guy that was walking behind said to the guy in the front that was holding the wife's hand, said, "Sir," says, "let me ask you something." She said, "Why are you holding her hand? Why do y'all hold hands?" And the guy says, "Well, when I let the hand go, she shops." It's a good reason, right? Guys, learn this. When you go to the mall, hold your wife's hands and she won't shop. She'll stay with you. Okay? That's the way you prevent shopping, I reckon. I don't know. Anyway. Loving our wives, though, is so important. Nothing wrong with holding your wife's hand. Amen. Nothing wrong with opening a door for your wife. Right. Treat her like a queen because that's who she is. Amen. She's the queen of your life. Thank God for a good wife. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself for it. Thank God today for that. A husband is to lay down his life. A husband is to promote a woman to learning the Lord, to be saved and to learn the Lord. A husband is to encourage a wife to go to church and go to Sunday school. All these things. This is what we're commanded to do when we love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We're to do this. We're not to put any obstacles in front of our wife. None whatsoever. We guys are to be an example. We're to be the example before our wives to keep her in church and keep her spiritually going. You see, we are responsible. We are responsible for the spiritual condition of our family, our wife, and everybody in our home. We are responsible. It's our responsibility. And let's don't shirk it. Even sometimes when she needs someone to counsel, to talk to. Guys, does your wife come home to you and say, "I need to talk to you"? Anybody ever get that? Huh? Y'all don't get that? Sure, your wife needs to talk to you. She needs that time, guys. She really does. She needs to ask you questions. She needs to lay on you sometimes, vent out to you some things that's in her heart, in her life, that she's burying at work or wherever it is, you know. I'm thankful sometimes to be that person to listen, you know, learn to listen, man. We need to learn to listen to our wives because sometimes they need to talk to us. So we see that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives are to submit themselves unto their husbands as Christ did to the church. Now, number three, we see, look, if you will, let's look down in verse number 28. Husbands are to love their wives as their own, as they love their own bodies. Look at verse number 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He loves himself. We find this is very nourished. Verse number 29 tells us, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We're to nourish our wives. Nourish them. Nourish them. That is to look after them. You know, look after them. Look after them. We're to cherish our wives. That is to hold dear with our heart our wife. You know, we need to do this as men. And verse number 30 tells us, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Where did woman come from? Come from man. Two are one. Two become one, you see. Two become one flesh. We're joined together, verse 31 says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Sometimes this is a problem. When a couple gets married, they either stay close to her people or his people. That can become a problem. The Bible says we're to leave our family, we're to cleave to our wife.
Amen.
Cleave to our wife, you see. Never run back to mom and daddy. When my wife and I got married, both my parents had deceased. They were deceased. But even if my daddy and mom was living, I know what my mom or my dad would have told me if I went back to him. He would tell me, son, you're on your own. You know, this is your choice. You go out there and make the best of it. You know, I had that kind of dad, and I'm thankful I did. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes it don't. We're to marry, whenever the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall join unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Leaving your father and your mother when you get married. Get out of the home. Get on your own. Okay? Make your own going, so to speak. Join. This is the closest union possible. There are three unions in marriage. Three. There's the physical union, there's the mental union, and then there's the spiritual union. These are necessary for our lives to be what they are to be. The physical, the mental, and also the spiritual union is very important in our lives as a Christian when we get married. Now, we notice here, again, to conclude, verse 32 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, that is marriage he's talking about here, sharing the very presence of God and seeing God work together in your life as a couple. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to serve the Lord together as man and wife. Man and wife is very, very important. We see the husband is to love his wife as himself. We see the wife is to submit or to respect her husband. Her husband. We see here a true marriage is love first, it's union. It's love, it's union, and it's also, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. Like the church, it's a mystery. You know, someone said, what does it take to keep a marriage together? It takes three things. Work, work, work. That's what it takes. It takes work. It doesn't just come naturally, does it? It takes work. Every day, it seems like there's something that comes up. There's a snag or something, and we have to work at it. And it's only by the grace of God are we still here, are we still together as a couple, you see. It could happen to me, it could happen to you, what's happened to a lot of people in the world today. apart from the grace of God in our lives, and trying to put Him first and be what we ought to be. So what do we have? What are we saying today here? We're saying here that it's very important that we go by God's Word. God has the answer, folks, to our needs. God has the answer to how we're to live in our life. He's telling us here now, Paul is, in this book, how a wife is to live and how a man is to live. How couples are to live together. You know, I think it might be good for all of us, as people that are married especially, to read these verses at least once a month. Really. To get them back in our minds, back in our thinking, back in our actions, as who we are to be and what we are to be doing. Because the cares of life and the world itself can get us off on another tangent if we're not careful. And forget about our husband, forget about our wife. Forget about our wife. So it's very important that we take heed to the Word of God. We must learn to fulfill our role as a husband or as a wife. We must learn it. I said we must learn it. We don't know it. We have to learn it. Okay? We have to learn our role as a husband and also as a wife. And we learn it by doing it. By doing it, you know. The old FFA motto was, learn by doing. You learn by doing. And that's the way marriage is also. First of all, we must realize, as a husband and a wife, we cannot provide for our own needs completely. We cannot provide for our own needs completely. Thank God for that. When we obey God's word, as a man and a wife, when we obey God's word together, we will not be selfish and we will not take advantage of one another. When we obey God's word, folks, it's going to come the way God wants it to be if we obey God's word. We won't be selfish with one another and we will not take advantage. When a husband and wife do what God says we're to do by fulfilling their role, the spouse is provided for and also protected. We'll be provided for and also protected if we will obey the Word of God. See, it makes it safe for your spouse to do for your spouse to do your part. As a man or as a wife. As a man, when I do my part, it makes it safe for my wife. When she does her part, it makes it safe for me, you see. So it's a teamwork. It's a teamwork. I'm glad God planned it this way, folks. I'm glad God has given us the rule book to go by. And if we go by the Word of God, we'll find, we're going to have snags, we're going to have problems. I'm not saying it's going to do away with all your problems. But if we go by the Word of God, God will enable us. He'll put within us as individuals, as a husband and a wife, the spirit of wanting to make this thing work. Wanting it to work, you see. I believe the psalmist says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart, right? There's a key to that verse. He didn't just say, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. He says, delight yourself in the Lord first. And then, see, when you delight yourself in the Lord, your desires will be what they ought to be. They won't be carnal. They won't be fleshly or earthly. They'll be more spiritual because you've delighted yourself in the Lord. There's something about it, folks. Whenever we stick to this book, we obey this book, we read this book, study this book, the Word of God has power in it to bring conviction to us. Even when we are wrong, the Spirit of God will convict us and help us to see that, and we'll go running back to our mate, our spouse, when we've done wrong. We'll want to say, I'm sorry. We'll have that desire to say sorry, I'm sorry. The hardest words for anybody to say is, I'm sorry, I was wrong. But when the Holy Spirit gets hold of you, you'll do it, won't you? You'll do it. And that's all because we are trying our best to do what God wants us to do and live the way God wants us to do. I'm so glad for marriage. I'm so glad for husbands and wives that have been together for years, literally years. And it's all because of God's grace. All because of God's grace. They have somewhat been governed and led and guided by the Word of God to be what they ought to be. See, I can't be what I ought to be myself, neither can you. But we can by the grace of God and by the help of God. Husbands, love your wives. We're to love our wives. Wives, submit unto your own husbands. You may say, well, you don't know what kind of guy I married. No, I don't. And I don't want to know. But I know one thing. I know what God's Word says. God says you're to submit. God has a will. God has a plan for two people when they come together. When I have that attitude, I am not submitting myself to the Word of God to begin with. And that's sad. That's sad today. It really is. It's so sad to me today to see, again, what the world has viewed for us, presented for us today is what marriage is. It's a shame and a disgrace to Almighty God. All I got to say is I know God is long-suffering to us. He's got to be. Not willing that any should perish, but all that should come to repentance and be saved. Because if he was not, he'd already come years ago and taken care of this wickedness in this world today. But you know what? Listen. God's people don't have to live like the world. It's a choice. It's a matter of choice, though. We don't have to live like the world. We have this book to go by. We have this book to guide us. And may the Lord help us as a couple, husband and wife especially, to read the Word of God, study the Word of God, and take heed to the Word of God. And we'll find that our marriage, it'll be much better. It'll be much better. If there's anybody in the world today that needs help to live today, it's couples that are married. Married couples. We need help, folks. We need help. Because the world is trying its best to destroy the home. Everywhere you turn, they're trying to attack us. And we need God's help, folks. We need God's help. From the Word of God, we can get it. And from one another, we can encourage one another, okay? In the Lord. Because He will have us to do that. I trust today as we look to this and we look at this that you and I will go home, sit down as a couple and read these verses again together. Get them fresh in our mind. Keep them in our mind. You know that we might take heed to the Word of God. And God might bless our marriage and give us, again, the desires of our heart as we focus on the Lord. Do what we do as unto the Lord. And we'll see God will bless. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for this, the Word of God that you've given us today to read together, to study. Lord, I'm so grateful, Lord, that we have the Word of God, Lord, to lead us in our life. Lord, the answer to any problem in our life is found in the Word of God. We thank you for that today. God, I pray now, Lord, as we have focused on the marriage, the husband and the wife relationship today, I pray, God, that couples here today might be encouraged, God, to maybe commit themselves again to one another. God, that they might live for you. Lord, that we might give our lives totally unto you. God, as you've encouraged the husband and the wife to do that as unto the Lord. God, help us to do that. God, help us to be what you want us to be. Lord, there's one here today in this room that's not saved. I pray, God, somehow the Word of God and the Spirit of God might deal with their heart today. God, they might come to Christ before it's too late. God, bless your people this week. Lord, give them a good week. Lord, we're going into another service now. And God, I pray, Lord, you would just bless our preacher. Oh, God, give him power. Give him liberty to speak, thus saith the Lord, to us from your Word. Again, Lord, to feed us that spiritual food that we need to give us what we need to go through this week, day by day. Bless the singing. May all this done bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.